We do thank the Lord for gathering us together again this year. As our brother mentioned last night, that this is the ninth conference of this kind. I wonder if you notice that at this particular conference, there is a particular theme. The theme throughout the nine conferences that we had or are having now is on things spiritual. Now, before we knew the Lord, we knew only things that are earthly, worldly, physical, temporal. Sometimes I think we are like ants, crawling on the ground, totally ignorant of anything that is heavenly, invisible, and eternal. But since the Lord came into our hearts, something happened. We began to soar like eagles. We began to enter into a realm that we have never known before. We are introduced into a vast realm of the spiritual. And this is where we are, and this is what we seek, and this is what we ought to be. I think we are like Moses. God called him to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, and show him a view of the promised land. And we are also like Joshua. God said to Joshua, rise up and go over the Jordan and possess the land. In other words, we believe that God gathered us together to have a view of that spiritual heavenly realm, of things spiritual. And not only just to have a view, but also to walk in it. And I do believe that that is the reason why the Lord has gathered us year after year for this purpose. We are supposed to live in the heavenlies, and we are supposed to touch spiritualities. That's where we are and where we must be. Now this year, we'll focus our attention on spiritual knowledge. Our prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, will give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to the full knowledge of God. So I do hope that throughout the few days we are together, that this will be the cry of our heart. Now will you please turn to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 2. We read verses 8 and 9. And Jehovah Elohim planted a garden in Eden eastward, and there put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Jehovah Elohim made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food. And the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Colossians, the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, we'll read from verse 9 through verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, from the day we heard of your faith and love, do not cease praying and asking for you, to the end that ye may be filled with the full knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so as to walk worthily of the Lord, unto all well-pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing by the true knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us fit for sharing the portion of the saints in light. May we have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for gathering us together unto the name of Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We do praise and thank Thee that Thou dost give us a hunger and thirst after Thyself. And we do thank Thee Thou hast promised that Thou wilt satisfy us. Lord, we just pray that Thou wilt breathe upon Thy word, and Thou wilt open our understanding, that Thy word may become life, light, and spirit to us, that we may know Thee in a living way. And to Thee be the glory, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Spiritual knowledge is most essential to our spiritual well-being. The controversy of God with his people Israel is over this matter of knowledge. In Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. The beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So knowledge is very important to us as believers. But brothers and sisters, as we pursue after spiritual knowledge, one thing is essential, and that is we need to know that what kind of knowledge are we really seeking after. There are two different kinds of knowledge in this world. And these two different kinds of knowledge are represented by the two trees in the Garden of Eden. After God created man in his own image, after his own likeness, he planted a garden, a beautiful garden. And he put man in that garden. The Bible tells us that in the garden, God planted all kinds of trees that bore fruit. Good to look at and good for food. But in the midst of the garden, God planted the tree of life. And by the side of that tree of life, God planted another tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God placed man in the garden and gave man a choice. He can choose between the two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He can choose between life and knowledge. Now, of course, when you contrast life with knowledge, you know that that knowledge does not come from life. Because life itself is knowledge. You remember in the prayer of our Lord Jesus, in John chapter 17, verse 3, the Lord said, "This is the eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and the one whom Thou hast sent." In other words, life does give us knowledge. Life gives us the knowledge of knowing God, the only true God. And life gives us a knowledge of knowing the one whom God has sent, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is another knowledge outside of the life of God. And that is the knowledge of good and evil. God put man before these two trees and allow man to make a choice whether he wants to live by the life of God, making life as the principle of his living, or he would rather have knowledge, a knowledge that is apart from God, but a knowledge that will reside in him, enable him to live according to that knowledge as his principle of living. We may say one is spirit knowledge, the tree of life. And the other is soul knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, our forefathers, they made a choice. And as we know from the Word of God, they chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. Now remember that in the garden there are many trees. God planted all kinds of trees bearing fruit. Why? Because God so loved the man whom he created. So he provided everything for that man. All these fruit trees are good to look at and good for food. These trees are given to man for their physical need. Man has a physical body. And because of that, there is need for that body. And God created all these trees for man's physical need. Provision for them. Then you find, aside from all the trees, there is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what is that tree for? Even though it is good to look at, and good for food, and yet it is a different kind of food. It is not for physical needs. It is food for our soulical needs. You know, God created man in three parts. We have spirit, soul, and body. And all these parts of man have their particular needs. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is for our soulical need, to satisfy the desires of our soul, to satisfy our intellect, to satisfy our emotion, to satisfy our will. That is food for the soul. And then you find the tree of life. The tree of life is the food for our spirit. God created us with a spirit. And that spirit needs food. And the tree of life is the food for the spirit. Now, sometimes people think that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a bad tree. Now, I personally feel God will not plant anything bad in that Garden of Eden. It is a good tree. As a matter of fact, it is better than all the other fruit trees. It is superior to all the other trees. But of course, it is inferior to one tree, the tree of life. God put man before these two trees and let them make a choice. Whether they want to live by the life of God, and with that life, they come to know God in a living way. And they come to live by God and live for God. Or whether they will like to develop their own soul apart from the life of God, but having something within themselves that they may be independent of God and live by their rational mind, by their reasonings, by their logic. Two different ways of life before man. If man made his choice, he would rather have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He would rather develop his own soul and be independent. As Satan suggested, that you may be gods. You do not need God anymore. You are God yourself. Or you are willing to accept God's life as your principle of living. Unfortunately, our forefather chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And brothers and sisters, in a sense, when our forefather chose made that choice, he not only chose that for himself, he had made that choice for every one of us. Because Adam is our forefather, and all who are in Adam, who are born of Adam, inherit that choice. And that is the reason why you find, since Adam made that choice, for these thousands of years of human history, man pursued after that knowledge which is apart from the life of God. And by that knowledge, man declare independence of God. And men think that they are gods themselves. The Bible said, the Lord said, on the day that you eat that forbidden tree, you shall surely die. Now, why is it God forbade man to take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If it is a good tree, it is good for our soul, food for our soul. Now, why did God forbid man to eat that tree? You know, the enemy suggested to Eve, saying that the reason why God does not allow you to eat that tree, it is because he's jealous. He doesn't want you to be like him. He wants to put you in the dark, that he may have control over you. Now, is it that reason why God did not allow man to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? We know it is Satan's suggestion. It is not God's original desire. God loves us so much. He wants to give us everything that is good for us. And he wants to keep us away from that which will bring death to us. Because by eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, apart from the life of God, and develop a knowledge separated from God's life, the result is always death. I think this is very clear when we go back to the story in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they ate that forbidden fruit. And you know what happened? The moment they ate that fruit, their eyes were open. But open to what? They saw themselves naked. You know, brothers and sisters, why did they not know themselves naked before? You know, when God created all these animals, they all have clothing. They were born with clothes. They have feathers, skins, and all these furs. God clothed them when they were created. Now, can you imagine that when God created man, God created them naked, with no clothing of any kind. Now, if they were created naked, then why Adam and Eve did not see it before they ate the forbidden tree? Now, I personally felt that God, when He created man, He created man in His own image, after His likeness. And I thought, God clothes man with a glory. Glory is the clothes of man. And because they were clothed with glory, they couldn't see their nakedness. But when they sinned against God, the glory faded. And they began to see that they were naked. And immediately they tried to cover themselves. They tried to sew the fig leaves, big leaves. They sewed them together as an apron to cover their nakedness. But were they successful? Not at all. Because when God came into the garden, they hid themselves among the trees. Why? Because they say to God, we were naked. And you know the weather changed. And the wind was blowing. And it was cold. So this fig leaves clothing was inadequate. Now, this is just the awkward. But what happened to man when man ate the forbidden fruit? The Word of God says, on the day that you eat, you shall surely die. But we know Adam and Eve, they live hundreds and hundreds of years afterwards. And they begot sons and daughters. They have family life, social life. They did not die on the day that they ate. But God's word is accurate. Because on the day that they ate that forbidden tree, something died immediately. Their bodies still live for hundreds of years. Their souls still live. And yet, their spirit was dead. Now, God is spirit. And God created man with a spirit that man could communicate with God. Now, you cannot communicate with God with your physical body. Now, even though sometimes you find people prostrate before God, but actually, you know, just prostrating wouldn't touch God anyway. Now, you cannot touch God with your soul. You may have very noble thought about God, yet by searching, no one can find God. God is spirit. Therefore, you need a spirit to be in communication with Him. But on the day that Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, their spirit was dead. Their communication with God was cut off. Now, it doesn't mean that they do not have a spirit. They still have a spirit in them as an organ. But the proper function of that organ was terminated. And that is the reason why you find man could still communicate with evil spirit, but they cannot communicate with God, the Spirit. Their spirit was dead. In trying to have that knowledge apart from the life of God, their spirit was dead. And that is just the beginning, because gradually that death will conquer their soul and their body. God's word is always true. Now, brothers and sisters, what is the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That knowledge includes all the knowledges that we know of apart from the life of God. Whether it is scientific or technological knowledge, or whether it is philosophical or speculative knowledge, or whether it is moral, ethical, or religious knowledge, it includes all kinds of knowledge. And as a matter of fact, when you come to the knowledge of good and evil, that is the top of all knowledges in this world. You know, sometimes we think scientific knowledge, technological knowledge, now that is the top. Not so. Or we may think philosophical, speculative, that is purer than technological knowledge. No. As a matter of fact, in human beings, the highest knowledge is the knowledge of good and evil. It is the rational, ethical, moral sense in man. The highest knowledge. And yet strangely, even that highest knowledge, instead of giving man life, puts man to death. So, brothers and sisters, at the very outset, we need to see the distinction between these two kinds of knowledge. And then we need to know, what kind of knowledge are we really pursuing? Let's illustrate them. Scientific, technological knowledge. Now the world has made great progress in that area. And because of such knowledge, we feel life becomes more convenient. Now it does give us lots of advantages physically. But does that knowledge help us to become better men and better women? Now, even though this knowledge gives us so much convenience in this world, and yet it creates many more problems in this world. And it even brings us even to the brink of annihilation of human beings. Now you know, scientific or technological knowledge the real purpose of this knowledge, according to the Word of God, actually is to bring us closer to God. You know, you remember Romans chapter 1, verse 20? The invisible things of God, His power and divinity, are being apprehended through the mind by the things visible, created. So actually, when we look at the things that God has created, and we discover these things, these should bring us closer to God. Now, no wonder in Psalm we find the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Now, actually, when you look at these things and you begin to discover the laws and try to apply them and use them, enjoy them, actually, this should bring us closer to God. But on the contrary, you find such knowledge bring us farther away from God and make us feel that we do not need God anymore. We are gods. We can do everything and anything. And the result is death. Now, nothing wrong with this knowledge. Nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is the person, the man, the woman that is handling that knowledge. Because that man has become selfish, self-centered. And with that kind of degraded, fallen life, the more scientific, technological knowledge you have, the worse the world becomes. It doesn't help us spiritually, morally. It does not bring us to God. It brings us away from God. Now, the same thing is true with philosophical or technological knowledge. I mean, speculative knowledge. Actually, when you are trying to seek after God, even with your mind, with your thought, or will, or emotion. Now, these seem to bring us closer to God. But in actuality, you'll find that they lead us away from God. People can have a very noble thought about God, and yet they are deceived. They think that by that they know God. Well, they know about God, maybe, but very dark. They really do not know God. And because of that, it serves as a substitute, in a sense, to lead them away from God. For instance, you read a letter to the Colossians. You know, these Colossians believers, they came to the Lord. But in their search for more knowledge of God, they were led astray. And if you read the letter to the Colossians, you find that they get into what expositors, commentators were said, Colossian heresy. Now, what is Colossian heresy? It is a strange combination of heathen Gnosticism and Jewish ritualism. It is speculative. They speculate about the universe. They speculate about the origin. They speculate about a good God, a bad God, and things like that. And they speculate about physical, material things, that material things are evil in themselves. And they speculate. And yet, you find it is combined with a Jewish ritualism. do not touch, do not taste, and so forth. And these Colossian believers, they sought after that knowledge. They think that by having that knowledge, trying to explain the universe, the system, then they will really know God, grow spiritually. But instead, you find they drifted, they were drawn away from God. And Paul had to write that letter to help them see that all the wisdom and knowledge of God are hid in Christ Jesus. And we are perfect in Him. It is only in Him there is true knowledge. And if you try to find a knowledge outside of Him, you are led astray. And if you read 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last two verses, 20 and 21, you'll find Paul exhort Timothy to guard against false named knowledge that miss the faith. So, brothers and sisters, if we seek after philosophical, speculative knowledge apart from life, we miss the faith. We are led astray. It gives us death, not life. Now, maybe we can say now, if scientific and philosophical knowledge does not bring life to us, but instead lead us to death, then certainly moral, ethical, religious, that kind of knowledge certainly will bring us to God and bring God to us. Now, is that true? Take, for instance, the law. God gave 10 commandments to the children of Israel. And even though we Gentiles did not have that written law, and yet God, by His Spirit, had inscribed His law in our heart. So in other words, you'll find the whole world, all human beings are under law, under God's law. Whether it is written on stones or it is inscribed upon our heart, we all have God's law in us. God is holy. His law is holy. And when that law is given to us, what is the purpose of that law? The purpose of that law is to give us the knowledge of sin. By law we know we have sinned. That is the purpose of law. The law drives us or leads us, as our schoolmaster leads us to Christ. Because if we do not know we have sinned, if we are not convicted of our sins, then we will have no need of Christ, a Savior. But law shows us we have sinned. And law brings us to Christ. Now that is the purpose of law. But unfortunately, we find instead of taking law as a means to an end, we make law the end. We try to keep the law by our own works, the works of the flesh. We try to keep the law, and we discover that we cannot do it. So we try to deceive ourselves. If we can only keep the letter of the law, then we feel we are self-righteous. You remember that young man? He came to the Lord and said, "Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Why do you call me good? Because there's only one good, who is God. Have you kept the law?" He said, "What law?" And the Lord told him, "Honor your father and mother, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not be covetous, and so forth." And this young man said, "I have kept them from my youth." So the Lord said, "Fine. Sell all you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me." He kept the letter of the law, but he broke the spirit of the law. The Pharisees, they were proud of themselves because they keep the law to the very letter. And yet, they violated the very spirit of the law. They were hypocrites. They deceived themselves. It's worse because they deceive themselves. They have the form of godliness, but without the power of it. People may appear to be moral outwardly, but there's no life. It's not spiritual. No life. You know, the letter to the Galatians is addressed to this problem. Because the Galatian believers, they began with the Spirit, but they try to be completed with the law. They thought that after believing in the Lord Jesus, how could they be completed? They have to do themselves. They have to keep the law, and then they will be perfect. But instead, you'll find they fell from the grace of God. They were led away from Christ instead of growing in Christ. So that doesn't work either. It results in death. We may even go a little further. What about scriptural knowledge? Now, certainly, there should be no problem with scriptural knowledge, knowledge of the Bible. The Word is truth. Our Lord Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So that should be right. But brothers and sisters, if we approach the Word of God mentally, intellectually, or even emotionally, if we approach the Word of God with our old life, our own intellect. We may be able to explain it, or we may try to expound it. We may seem to have a good knowledge of the Word of God. We may even be able to reduce the Word of God into a system. We make the Word of God dogmas and eventually become a tradition. We are very knowledgeable in the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, will that bring us closer to God? We may know a lot about God, but we may not have much of God in our lives. Our Lord Jesus said, "The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life." And Paul says, "The letter kills, the Spirit quickens." Now, how often when we approach the Word of God, we approach it intellectually. And that is the reason why you'll find many theological seminaries, when they begin very fundamental in their faith, but eventually they become very liberal in their faith. Why? Because they approach the Word of God with the flesh. They touch the Word of God with the hand of the flesh. Only the Spirit of God can reveal the truth to us. It cannot be grasped just with our mind. The Word of God is not a system, an ism. It is living. It grows with us as we grow in the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find that even when you try to approach the Word of God apart from life, it brings in death. And even that kind of knowledge is the knowledge of good and evil. I wonder, brothers and sisters, after we have known the Lord all these years, how much real knowledge of God do we have? All our past searching and pursuit, are we on the wrong path? Are we in the right way of searching for spiritual knowledge? It is not so much how much about God we know. Probably we know so much, a lot. But it is how much of God Himself in us that we really touch and know. Become a living knowledge within us. So what is spiritual knowledge? Spiritual knowledge is a knowledge that comes out of life. We already quote John 17:3, "This is the eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and know the one whom Thou hast sent." Spiritual knowledge comes from life. Our Lord Jesus said, we find in John chapter 1, verse 4, "In Him was life, And the life was the light of man. Now, what is light? Light is knowledge. If we have the life of Christ in us, that life is the light of man. That life gives us knowledge, spiritual knowledge. That life will show us, reveal to us who God is, what kind of God He is, what kind of character He has, what is His heart, His mind, His purpose, His will. What is His counsel? What is He working for, after? Brothers and sisters, it is that life in us that will reveal these things to us. With that life in us, we have a new relationship with God. Formerly, we may know about God, but we have no communication, no relationship with Him. But once you believe the Lord Jesus and that life has come into you, immediately you find a new relationship is established. You call Him Abba, Father. We don't just address Him, God, who are in heaven. We call Him Abba, Father. A new relationship is different. You know Him because you share one life. You know Him within. There is a new relationship there. And also you find that because that life in you has a new nature, it is the nature of God. And that nature will bring you closer and closer to God. You know, brothers and sisters, you do not know God by people telling you about God. You know God because He lives in you. He shows you what He likes and what He dislikes. What will be pleasing to Him and what displeases Him? He is righteous and holy in you, and He'll show you who He is and what He is. Nature. We know Him by nature. And with this life in us, you find a light within you is guiding your steps. You know, how do we walk on this earth as a Christian? Now, it is true we have the Word of God as the lamp of our feet. That is true. But in our daily life, the Bible gave us the principle. But in our daily life, you find it is the Holy Spirit in us as light of life shining within us. And if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all our sins. If we walk in the light, what is that light? That light is the light of life. That light is God, because in the preceding verse it said, God is light, and there is no darkness in Him, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. So this light is the light within. God dwells in us. He is our light. And as we know Him inwardly, He's leading us on. And He reveals the darkness within us. And through the blood of our Lord Jesus, we are continuously cleansed. And that's the way we grow in the Lord. We grow in life. Brothers and sisters, that life in us, give us that knowledge of God, transforms us. Not just a mental knowledge, but it transforms our life and conforms us to the image of His beloved Son. So you find that this is spiritual knowledge. This is the knowledge that gives us God. Or we may put it the other way, God's life gives us that knowledge. But anyway, you'll find this is the knowledge that we are seeking after. Now what happened to the other knowledges? The soul knowledge. Does it mean that because we seek after that spirit knowledge, therefore we neglect all the other knowledges and just reject all the other knowledge? We reject scientific knowledge, technological knowledge, philosophical knowledge, ethical, moral knowledge. We reject all these things. Brothers and sisters, again we say, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a good tree. It is not bad in itself. These knowledges are not good, bad in themselves, but it is because of man. We have fallen. And therefore, when we handle these things, all these things becomes disastrous, destructive. But when we seek the Lord Himself, and when we have that life knowledge in us, you'll find something happened. It turns all the other knowledge into their proper use. The more you know science and technology, the more you realize the glory of God. It brings you closer to God. And it also will enable you to benefit mankind. Not destroy mankind, but benefit mankind. It makes that philosophical knowledge to put it within restraint, within its bounds. And it's really helpful because it helps you to express what God has revealed to you. And it gives a life to morality. Not just moral, but dead. But it gives you a living morality. And that is spirituality. It sublimates all the other knowledge and lead them to the proper place where these knowledge should be. So, brothers and sisters, you find that the most important thing is spiritual knowledge. Seek after it. I still have some time. Now, I would like to use an illustration. Now, we remember Solomon. Solomon is the wisest of men. in 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles, we are told that he really loved God. So after he became king over Israel, he loved God. So when he went to Gibeah, because there was that brazen altar, and he offered thousands of sacrifices on that altar to show his love towards God. And because of his love towards God, God revealed to him in a dream that night. And God said, ask what you want. Whatever you want, you just ask. Now Solomon, he asked only one thing. He said, God, I am a child. You put me in a big nation. I do not know how to go in and come out among thy people, how to judge thy people. So he asked for wisdom and knowledge. And in the Bible say he asked for an understanding heart. Now in the original, the understanding heart is the heart that hears. He asked for a heart that can hear God. That is what he asked for. And God was highly pleased with him. Because God said, you do not ask, give you riches, or give you great fame, or you even ask that your enemies will be destroyed, or give you long life. You don't ask these things. You only ask for a heart that can hear me. God was really pleased with that. So God gave him an understanding heart, largeness of heart, a heart that can hear God. And then in Second Kings chapter 4, you'll find that Solomon's wisdom excels the wisdom of the East. Now, what is the wisdom of the East? Generally speaking, the wisdom of the East is philosophical, speculative knowledge, meditative, mystical. That is the kind of knowledge of the East. And Solomon's knowledge excels that kind of knowledge. And his knowledge excels the knowledge of Egypt, the wisdom of Egypt. Now, Egypt at that time was one of the greatest empires, famous for its architectural feat. Even today, people visited Egypt to see the pyramids. Not only the size of it, but also the scientific knowledge in it. And Solomon's wisdom excels the wisdom of Egypt, more than scientific and technological knowledge. And his wisdom even excels the wisdom of Ethan, Heman, Dada, Kelkor. Now these are the peoples. Now if you read the scripture, you'll find in Psalms, you have some hymns by Heman, and then if you read David's singers, musicians, you'll find the name there. So, in other words, these are inspirational, poetical, and religious. But Solomon's knowledge excels them all. Why? Because he is given a spiritual knowledge, a heart that hears God. Now, you find that he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Now, the Proverbs we have is only a small part of the 3,000 Proverbs. As you read the Proverbs, now, Proverbs are like the moral guides to our daily life. But when you read Proverbs, you find there is something there which sublimates the moral guides that we have in the world. Different nations, different countries, they all have their proverbs. They all have their moral maxims and so forth. But you find that because he knows God. So in reading Proverbs, you find there is an element there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It puts something into that morality. And he writes about 105 songs. And the Song of Songs is the Song of Solomon that we find here. Here you find he touches love in the deepest way. Something more than human love. It's a love that exists between God and man. And he wrote about the trees, from the tree of Lebanon to the hyssop on the walls. And he wrote about all animals, cattle, creeping things. Now, not as a zoologist or as a botanist, but when he wrote that, he saw God in all these creative things. Now, that is spiritual knowledge. So, brothers and sisters, what do we need? We need spiritual knowledge. So, the one thing we need, as our brother already mentioned, we need to pray. We need to ask the Lord to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the full knowledge of God. Because it is not natural. It should be supernaturally natural to us. But it is something we need to desire after. We have sought knowledge of this world. And now it is time that we really set our heart for that spiritual knowledge. That God will grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know him. Now in James chapter 1 we are told, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask. And God will freely give if we ask by faith. So we do hope that all of us will see the need of spiritual knowledge. All of us will see there is a difference between spiritual knowledge and the knowledge so-called that we know. And when you really see it, I believe you will sense the lack of it. And only when you sense the lack of it, you will ask for it. And if you ask for it, God will give it to you. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that Thou dost want to give the best to us. Thou dost give Thy Son to us, and in Him are all knowledges and wisdom. We do pray, Lord, that Thou will open our understanding, our hearts, that one thing we will seek after and that is thy beloved Son, who is knowledge of God. We ask in thy precious name. Amen.